Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett. This week, we want to explore several items in the news. Joining me on my quest are my illustrious panel. It's hard to know, you know, who makes the top billing, but I think I'm going to start from the cultural center of the known world, Youngstown, Ohio. We have social activist, author, and barkeep Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. Sorry I'm late, but I just got a clue from the NSA that I could call.
Perfect. Hey,
Sam. I had to wait for top secret clearance, and I'm very glad to be here to talk with everybody about the topics of the day.
Sam, a question for you. I think you have, three books under your belt? Are you still writing, or are you concerned that they might be censored?
I'm still writing. I hope to get my actually I have 5 books published, and that's okay. My 6th one won't be up until next year, and it's called Requiem for Casanova. It has nothing to do with politics and all to do with sex.
Woohoo! Alrighty then. looking forward to it. From the City of Angels, it is great pleasure to welcome well-known and respected attorney Peter Haven. Peter, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad that Sam has called the NSA to our attention, so now all of this is going to be monitored.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick off-the-wall question for you. I know that your involvement with the O.J. Simpson case is a thing of the past, but he's been seeking a retrial. It made the news for half a nanosecond. Any idea what the outcome was?
I haven't heard anything about the outcome, but I would be surprised if he got a retrial. I think the standard for that is pretty rigorous, and I don't think he met his burden in trying to establish that. But I'm surprised I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either. And last, but by no means least, my good friend John Perry. John owns the Sunset Protection Company, a much sought-after security and investigation service. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Simon, I thought you were going to introduce me with Peter's introduction until you said well-known and respected. It's good to be with you guys today, Peter and Sam, Eric Holder, and NSA agents.
Right. In fact, John.
But we've doubled our listening audience. That's great.
I kind of stole my thunder, but I couldn't wait to say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I get the complete stats of people from the NSA that listen to the program. It's probably a state secret.
Hey, they might learn something. I welcome it.
Well, if they're out there, we welcome them.
Yeah, they might learn something.
John, I think you might be the perfect person to kick off the discussion today.
Oh,
as you in some ways play on both sides of the fence. On one side, you offer privacy and security, yet on the other side, you actively seek information that exceeds just picking up the local white pages and making a note about the person's phone number and address.
Right.
Right. The NSA have some egg on their face. They're facing the Verizon and Prism revelations this week, and they're causing people to ask some questions. You know, where does privacy end and government snooping begin? I'd like your thoughts.
Well, of course, you're right. I straddle the fence on this issue, depending on whose ox is being gored. But I'll put it like this, and I haven't heard this. I look at it like this administration, the Obama administration, is just as generous with our privacy as they are with our money. And I think that says it all.
Okay. Sam, I'll ask you the same question. You know, where does privacy end?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go back to good old Ben Franklin's quote and stick with that. I'm not paraphrasing it, but basically it says those who give up liberty in the name of security have neither. And I think this is a country founded on liberties and the freedoms and many things. As hundreds of thousands of men and women have died to make sure that freedom was spread around the world in this own country, that our government would never be inventing agencies to snoop on us, to spy on us, to gather information on us, and then drop due process of law and stolen the high-tech stuff that, of course, didn't exist years ago, that exists now. And basically, you got a bunch of gnomes sitting in some office building somewhere with a super-duper-pooper-scooper computer that is just gathering information and can be used against anybody, you know, whether it's a political opponent, whether it's somebody who's come up with a you know, the special interest groups can then get a hold of the politicians or the president or his administration and say, I want you to spy on my competitor. Here's another $100,000 for your campaign. Give me some dirt. And that makes it scares you. Because I think it's a country founded on due process of law, the Constitution, the freedom that are so important to us that so many people have died for and are willing to die for. And to think that our government is spying on us is, and then that's the other thing. Who are these people? I mean, I can't vote again for Barack Obama. He can't run again. But these people who work in these bureaucratic mousetraps, or whatever you want to call them, who are they? They work for us, yet they're spying on us. And that scares me because they're not accountable to anybody, but I don't know who they're accountable to. And that's bothersome to me.
Right, and Peter, you know, I suspect that there are occasions where you straddle the fence. You know, the need for privacy, yet the need for information. You know, where do you draw the line?
Well, I think I would probably tend to draw the line more on the side of needing information. I understand that people have privacy concerns, but I tend to lean more in favor of protecting people and gathering intelligence about threats. And I tend to think, you know, typically whenever privacy is at issue in, you know, most of my work is in litigation and we frequently deal with privacy concerns. And every time you have a privacy issue, the court always says, well, it's a balancing test. Is the need for information great, and is the privacy that's being encroached upon, how significant is that? How worthy or necessary is it to maintain that sense of privacy? It's a balancing test. And, you know, most of these recent requests for information, all of this grows out of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978. So this federal legislation has been on the books since 1978, and these recent requests are all pursuant to various revisions and amendments of that statutory scheme over the years. And, you know, right now, the NSA has broad authority under that to seek information. And, you know, generally speaking, that's the law of the land. They have the right and the authority to seek that information. And it's not clear to me what privacy interests are really being encroached upon and how serious and significant those privacy interests are.
Okay. But wasn't Pfizer created and has indeed evolved into the ability for the NSA to intercept, you know, foreign emails, phone messages, etc., rather than, you know, U.S. Based messages and phone messages.
That was the general purpose or intent behind the act, as I understand it. But it's been broadened and expanded over the years, and you know, with events of international terrorism like 9/11, that doesn't surprise me. And it now grants the NSA broader authority to collect information which may constitute any kind of threat against the U.S. government. And frequently that information, the source of it or ways of detecting it, even though it may have foreign origins, the ability to find it or the ability to track it down is within the boundaries of the United States. And, you know, we live in a world that's increasingly without borders. So if you want to protect your borders, lots of times you need to gather information and conduct investigations within them.
Okay, that's all well and good. But what you're talking about is, you know, a particular situation, you know, a limited surveillance. However, what seems to be coming out in the press is a far wider scope. You know, let's capture everything. And, you know, big data, cheap hardware, cheap storage permits the capture of basically everything.
Yeah, and that's the way the current law is written. It literally allows for, quote-unquote, all information facilities or assistance necessary. So, you know, the government can go to any electronic communications provider or any large company and seek all information facilities or assistance necessary to gather this information. And
I just think we ought to give Big Brother George Orwell screwed up. He shouldn't have titled his book 1984. He should have titled it either 1978 with an addendum to 2013.
Well, 1984 wasn't bad. You know, it takes a
it's
few
all
years.
Bad, Peter.
It takes a few years for these laws to kick into effect.
Laws by what? A government snooping on its people? I mean, that's disgusting. It's deplorable. It's despicable. And it better stop. And now they're going to get it. Now we're going to get, now the pendulum is going to swing back to liberty in this country. Economic liberty, individual liberty, freedom. Get this government monster they're going to start labeling people terrorists. They're going to start labeling anybody they want. They can manipulate stuff. But we see it in Hollywood. Hollywood gets a lot of good stuff from what? Manipulate voice things and all that. I'm sorry if I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But I believe in it. And they're going to get whoever they want to get and embarrass them. And that's part of that is to get information, to actually gather and steal information on people who have the right to sit in front of their home. They're not committing crimes, okay, but they're going to use our computer to spy on us, our text messages, intercept a phone call with a warrant, with a due process of law, so they can find out what porn sites he went to, who we're flirting with online, you know, so they can embarrass us or embarrass their enemies or leak some information out about. Where did Harry Reid find out that Mitt Romney didn't file a tax return? From this crapola. You know, this is put in that the people in power are going to empower themselves with now stealing information from our own private homes, our own private cell phones, our own private conversation, our own private written words to use against us, but to use against people who they perceive as a threat to their livelihood. I mean, and that to me is deplorable and disgusting. And now I know why Jefferson wrote "The Trees of Liberty are paved with patriots' blood," or "We need a new revolution every 20 years to keep government honest." It's disgusting, and it's going to get worse. And I don't care which administration is doing it. And I mean, and Obama's already admitted, "Hell, we're spying on you, but we're not doing it so bad. We're nice spiders. We spy on you in a nice way."
We're transparent spiers.
Yeah, we're transparent spiers. Yeah.
Sam, you gotta stop riding the fence on this one. You gotta take a side one way or another.
I say they ought to blow up the NSA, the Patriot Act. And by the way, John, you'll agree with me on this. Didn't Obama say the war on terror was over? So what are we spying on Americans for?
Yeah. Why hasn't he dismantled NSA then?
Yeah, he said that. Haters on the run. The war on terror is over. What are we spying on
America really think,
for?
You really think the war on terror is over? I don't care who said what. Does anybody really believe that?
Of course not.
It's never going to end. We live in the shadow of the war on terror, and it's probably never going to go away. Look, Sam,
the war on terror has been going on for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah, that's right.
Some people, it has been. Some people call it the Crusade. Some people call it World War One. I mean, the terror's been out there. War's been out there. It's never going to stop it because man is a violent beast. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, but I'm not willing to give up my liberties for security because look where it's gotten. Look where it's gotten us. Cameras, people spying on everybody, people afraid to do anything. And the more Americans don't push back, the more these people are going to encroach on us. And I mean people, I mean those in office, those not accountable. I mean, and that's what I'm scared about, Peter. You know, I can vote for my congresspeople. I go, or people that even then that's tough to do because they're bought and sold by the special interest groups. But who are the people that they're appointing and putting in these positions to gathering this information?
Well, I agree with you.
What are they doing with it?
I agree with you that pushing back is an important part, and I believe in the power of democracy. And you are an advocate of people who are pushing back, and you're quite right. If you don't push back, they'll go for everything they can because that's human nature. That's part of the checks and balances in the democratic process. They may be in a time period when they're overreaching, and now people are up in arms about it, and that constitutes a form of check and balance, and I suspect there'll be a reaction to it. But good for you. You're keeping them honest. I like that.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to. This is a very scary thing to me because, especially given the fact, I would say, in order to communicate with people nowadays, I mean, everything's done by PDF files, attachments, computers. I mean, very few people are sending a lot of stuff through the mail. Many, many important documents, many, for individuals, whatnot. And the scary thing is a document I may send you, Simon, okay, maybe innocent, maybe it's sarcastic, maybe it's satire, maybe it's something else. These morons who work for the government, they don't know what satire is. They don't know what sarcasm is. They don't know what good writing is. And they say, Sam and Simon are look what they're saying here, even though it's injustice and satire. The next thing you know, we're both called labeled domestic terrorists.
That leads to a question for Peter. I'm sure that you send lots of word product, or work product rather, across the airwaves, in some way or another. Does it concern you that if you were involved with a case, John Doe versus the U.S. government, that you know, that you could be snooped on, and you know, your work product is now you know, work worthless.
There are some people who might say my work product is work worthless anyway, but you know, interestingly and surprisingly, I have to be I have to say I'm not that concerned about it, because most of what I do is a contested battle between, you know, me and those working with me and our adversaries, and the quest is almost always a beat down to get to the truth. And if you stay in a lawsuit long enough, everything comes out. That's been my experience. It all comes spilling out. Sooner or later, everybody starts, you know, basically everything gets drawn out. And eventually, everything that gets said or written in the way of evidence usually comes out. Now, you know, if I'm having communications with my client, I expect those to be privileged and confidential and to never be spied upon. And even if somebody had access to those communications, I don't know what they could do with them, because technically they're inadmissible by virtue of the privilege. But I'm sure many people wouldn't be surprised to hear some of the things that we were saying back and forth to each other if they were knowledgeable about the case. So I know that it sounds awful, but in reality, I tend to think that the truth usually comes out in most of these situations anyway, at least as far as my work is concerned. So I don't really have that big a concern about it. I don't think it's happening, because I don't think anybody's really particularly interested in my emails and my communications. But, you know, obviously, if you feel like everybody's spying on everything you do, you'd have a very different point of view and a very different reaction to it.
Right. How about you, John? I mean, I know that, you know, you engage in certain activities that you really do not want to be made public. How do you feel about, you know, your quote work product being snooped on?
I have a few observations. First of all, Sammy, how can you say government employees don't have a sense of satire? Did you not see the Star Trek and Cupid Shuffle videos?
No, I missed out one.
Oh man, you got to see those. The Star Trek and Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah,
pretty
yep.
funny. Okay, it's the IRS. They made a couple of videos for their employees.
Oh, I saw the one on Gilligan's Island. It was terrible.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
very
that was. They don't have. They might have a sense of humor, John, but they don't understand satire.
Well, I'll leave that to your discretion. And I wanted to say, I look at it like most administrations, especially this one. And Rahm Emanuel even said it years ago, emergencies are used as a pretext to erode our civil liberties, the various 10 amendments. So I think there's always going to be that struggle, and they're going to justify it under that. And I'm not familiar with the 1978 Act Peter's talking about. I'm not an attorney, but from my experience, you always needed probable cause or reasonable suspicion, whatever you want to call it, to access someone's phone records or emails. And I have no confidence in the Obama administration to target the appropriate offenders, because I think he's more concerned with political adversaries than terrorists. And that seems to be a pattern or theme throughout his administration. Every agency, EPA, IRS, NSA, I think they're all going to target the political adversaries in this country as opposed to terrorists abroad, because those idiots couldn't even... with help from Russia, information stopped the Boston bombing. So I don't know what they're doing with all this information, but I'm a big advocate, Simon, of checks and balances and separation of powers and judicial review. I think as long as they bring it before a judge, impartial hopefully, and target individuals that they think are involved in terrorism, I don't have a problem with it. But I don't want one branch acting unilaterally. And I'd like to say I'm very impressed with your comments, Peter, because J. Edgar Hoover would be smiling down, or maybe it's up, on you with your comments today.
It would make him happy, wouldn't it?
He would spot on everybody. Which he would say, man, why wasn't Peter around 30 years ago to defend me?
Hey, I want to break something on the BBC. Edward Snowden was NSA Prism leak source. He's a 29-year-old former ex-CIA technical assistant hiding in Hong Kong, and quote-unquote, he told The Guardian, I don't want to live in a society that does these sort of things. I do not want to live in a world where everything I do and say is recorded. And when The Guardian asked him what he thought was going to happen to him if the United States government gets a hold of him, he wrote nothing good. And he's
you
in
know
Hong
what I'd
Kong.
Actually like to ask you guys, what's the difference between a whistleblower and someone leaking confidential information? Like, I think Bradley Manning, I don't know that his information got anyone killed. I know he gave it to WikiLeaks, but what's the difference between a whistleblower who exposes corruption and someone who leaks confidential information?
I think that's a really great question.
It depends on your perspective, in fact, it was on my list.
Because, to me,
they're whistleblowers, but go ahead.
All right. I'm sure that in your world, you live on whistleblowers.
Confidential informants.
Exactly. Now, it seems to me that whistleblowing has become a somewhat ugly thing to do these days. Yeah? You end up in court.
Right.
Right? So...
Right.
There needs to be some protection.
There is. There's laws on the books to protect them, but... I guess
well, if you're asking about what the difference is,
they can
if you're asking
and,
about what the difference is between a whistleblower and a snitch, I think everybody knows the difference between a whistleblower and a snitch. And a whistleblower is somebody who exposes crime or wrongdoing or potential crime or wrongdoing, and a snitch is somebody who says, "Hey, Joe, the cops are looking for you. You better run," or something along those lines. You know, someone inside the police department who calls up a suspect and says, "Hey, you better get out of town. Somebody's after you." Now, that may be...
Why is that a snitch?
Well, okay, maybe I'm using the wrong word. It's a mole, then. I don't know. somebody's tipping you. You're paying somebody to tip you off, say, hypothetically.
But Simon,
now, you know, it may just be a function of your moral compass, you know. You may think if you live in one culture that that's whistleblowing, and if you live in another culture that's providing information that you shouldn't be providing.
I don't even know that it's culture, Peter. This guy probably sincerely thought he was doing a public good exposing government corruption. And they're saying he's leaking confidential information. So how do you decide? I don't think there's an objective view.
Which guy?
The court of public opinion has to decide that, John.
The person Sammy just cited about leaking the information to the English newspaper?
The Guardian. Yeah, his name's Edward Snowden.
Right.
He's the one who used to work for the CIA and those.
He's doing a public service.
No, you're right, John. John, you bring a great point up. Your point is, hey, some people are going to say this guy's a whistleblower. He's exposing some bad things that are going on in our government. The government's
right.
saying he's a bad man. He's leaked confidential information. You're right. That's an excellent point.
But you know what's funny, Sam, they leaked confidential information when it made Obama look good, and now that doctor in Pakistan is in prison for 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, because as long as it gores Obama's political enemies, then it's a good thing.
Right.
But boy, if it bites him on his ass, it's a bad thing.
Right, then it's leaking confidential.
And that's Peter, that's my biggest problem with government being all-knowing and all-powerful. Because it's not just about the political enemy. If they can spy, from what I understand with PRISM, they can spy on anything. So that means if I want to know what my competitor is doing let's say I own a widget factory, and I want to know if my competitor is making a better widget, I'm going to go bribe my politicians to go in the form of a legal campaign contribution to go to NSA, find out what I can snoop on my competitors and use that against them. And that's what's coming next. And they're going to, and that's what scares me.
It's like
it's
Watergate.
Already occurring, Sam.
It's like Watergate.
But that's what's going to happen. They're going to use this information. That information is powerful. All that stuff that's out there. And, of course, hey, look, yeah, hey, look, you know, I look at porn online. Yes, I've done that. Well, if I'm running for office, all of a sudden they go, wow, this guy's looked at porn online. Look at this.
Hey,
they'll
Peter,
find out anything
you,
they
you
want.
Were probably opposed to the plumbers breaking into Ellsberg's office, right? This is the equivalent. That's what they're doing, only on the internet, to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, John.
But that's what I'm saying. This is the equivalent of breaking into Ellsworth's office and finding out confidential information about him to smear
him. And then using it against them to better their own
on the internet and the phone calls.
They're using confidential information on the internet? What do you mean by that?
If any email you send, they have access to.
Yeah.
You know, they can find Prism under Prism. Simon, you might know more than I do, but from what I read about it, when that name first, that acronym first broke out, everything stored that they want is stored. That they can dig into anything we've looked at, sent, or received on the internet. Is that correct?
Yeah, Sam, I heard they have access to 1 billion emails a day.
But think about it, John. They have access to probably 10 billion emails a day, but there's more than one person looking at it.
Of course, there could be thousands. Point being, they can pick and choose and determine who they want to target.
That's correct.
But I think the more important point here is that they have this, huge hay field, this huge grass field, and that they capture it all.
Right.
They may only be interested in one blade of grass, but they've got it all. And
that's counterproductive, isn't it, Simon? They should target who they think are terrorists so they don't have to worry about reviewing 1 billion.
But with today's technology, cheap storage, big data, you can capture the entire field, and you can go back a year, 2 years, 3 years later and look for another leaf of grass. I mean, to me, I don't like it.
I'm with you.
Welcome to the revolution.
All right.
Because, gentlemen, do you believe that they can would be able to manipulate, not just expose someone they want to expose, but then get to the point with high technology where they could manipulate what you said, change what you've written, change what you've received? You think
right.
that you sent an email out that said XYZ, but they turn it around to make it say ABC. And that's scary, too, but I believe they could do that, too.
Well, yes. That's certainly a possibility, but it even worse is taking things out of context. You and I can share an email that has a phrase in it, and it's just the phrase that they use. It's taken out of context. I mean, not that it ever happens on
the press
news
does
channel.
That all the time. Every day that happens.
Right.
Every single day that happens 1,000 times a day.
So what's the way forward?
Well, someone said something that, I don't want to live in a world where everything you say and everything you write can be recorded. And I, my response is, that's our world. Most people in this country work for employers, and many of those people have email accounts that their employers provide. Their employer has complete, total, 100% access to everything they write on the company email. And they can look at it any time they want. They can read it. They can monitor it because it's quote unquote belongs to them.
Peter, I don't work for the government.
I know you don't, but most people live in a world where they write and share thoughts in a manner that's basically not private. And I actually am more concerned about employers, big employers, using that to their advantage than I am about government, because I think employers do that all the time. You may not work for government or for an employer. You work for yourself, but you know, we live in a world where information is accessible in many forms now, and I don't see the genie going back into the bottle.
But if I work for an employer, that gives me an email address, he or she is paying me money, I'm not going to abide by what the rules are. You can only do this with your emails. You can't do that with your emails. And if you do, you're liable to be punished. Okay, I understand that. But the government can snoop on any email I'm sending, and I don't work for them. They work for me. Not by my check, but it doesn't happen anymore. I mean, the government comes at us now. It doesn't come from us. And the majority of American people, if you could poll them all, talk to them all, would be against the government snooping on them. Unfortunately, the government it's so powerful and big, it comes at us to control us. That's what this is all about, a controlling thing. And if you've got to control your citizenry, and if you're afraid of what they're saying about you, you've got to store what they're writing, store what they're saying, staying on the videos, and that's not much of a democracy anymore.
Well, let me just look at it differently. Everybody uses some type of email account. I don't know what your email account is. Yahoo, Google, you know, whatever, GoDaddy. There's nothing that stops any of those people at any of those entities, Hotmail. There's nothing that stops any of those people who work at those entities from reading your email.
Absolutely correct. But if I work for ABC Corp, and ABC Corp give me an email address, I know damn well that, you know, I can be snooped on. So you've got to be very careful. You know, keep that email traffic to ABC Corp. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't think that, I mean, I think the point is that email is any way you slice it, any way you look at it, email is an inherently transparent form of communication. And it doesn't matter who you work for or don't work for. There are people who can read your emails, and you leave electronic footprints everywhere you go, and that's just the reality of the world we live in.
Go ahead.
If that's an acceptable practice, why do we have passwords to log into our accounts, to get on Facebook? Why do they have all these safeguards against people snooping on you if it's perfectly legal to do so?
I never said it was perfectly legal.
I thought you said the government has access to it just because it happens to be technologically advanced, and under the guise of terrorism.
In regard to FISA, the law does give the government access to that.
Okay, well, then why do we have passwords and everything to safeguard our accounts if they're?
Why do you lock your car door if somebody can steal it? Why do you put a lock on your home? I mean, they're reasonably.
Because I don't want someone coming in or reviewing my email and everything. That's my point. That's what I thought all those protections were for.
Well, look,
but I guess
you know, if you work for a big employer and you're part of some company with thousands of employees, you can put all the passwords you want on your email account. Your employer can read those anytime they want.
I'm not a member of Facebook, but I understand you need to befriend someone and they have to accept you. Otherwise, you can't get access to their page.
Well, okay, that's getting a little off tangent, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you can access their page. Their page is accessible by the public, so it's out there. So if it's on their page, it's available. Period.
No. John, it's simpler than this, right? But there are really three levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
You work for IBM, you have an email address, you know, johnperry@ibm.com.
Right.
It's obviously a business account.
Yeah, you're not paying for it.
You're not paying for it account for the account. You're
right.
Absolutely correct. But you have absolutely no privacy. Yeah.
Right.
That account can be accessed by management, to make sure you're not having, cyber sex with the secretary or whatever.
That's why they authorized that account for you, so they could review your work product.
Right.
Well, the phrase is reasonable expectation of privacy, and that's one that you're familiar with, John. And what this goes to is that an employee has no reasonable expectation of privacy in the employee's company email account.
Right. It's the same with county phones. People, say, at Homicide have county phones because they're on call 24 hours. And do they make personal calls on it? Sure. Are they subject to review? Of course. Everybody knows that.
All right. But John, just bear with me for a second. Let's assume that, you do, want to have a private email account. So you go to Google, Yahoo, Hotmail, whatever, sign yourself up an account, and you would expect a reasonable level of privacy.
Right. That's my point, Simon. That's why you have passwords.
Right, but this whole discussion is about it doesn't matter what email account you have, it's not private. It's being snooped.
Okay, but I don't believe that's legal. That's what we're arguing about, I think, right?
Well, I think basically that you're correct. I think my point is there are instances where, as a matter of law, a person doesn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. There are other instances where, as a matter of law, they probably do have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And that last scenario you just described, Simon, is probably one. But even in situations where people have a reasonable expectation of privacy, I don't think anyone should really think that privacy is inviolable, because I think they're people who have access to that, even if you think you have a reasonable expectation of privacy in it. Now, what John's point is, well, that doesn't make it legal, and that's true. It doesn't make it legal. And then that takes us back to something like where we're at right now. We're right now, under the law, the government has the ability to go to large communications providers and get information from them, which they feel might be necessary to safeguard or protect national security. So they are complying with the law. And there's a special court, a FISA court, established to do this. And it seems like they rubber stamp everything, but they authorize it. And so if this aspect of privacy is going to be protected, it's going to require some level of change in the law. And that's why Sam's leading the vanguard.
Help me here.
Yes, I will. Okay. I want to use two things I'm going to say. Number one, Simon, you brought up a point. I work for IBM, or I think you use that. I'm Sam Murphy at IBM.com. They give me an email address. I can only do business on that. I'm going to get fired if I start to have cyber sex or send up things like that. I'm going to get my own private email account to do that. So what only real idiots would
well, let me just ask you this. Let's say you have your own private email account and you're at your
right.
office and you're using your little Hotmail account to do all your good
right.
stuff on. Which computer are you using?
I'm just trying to say, no, if I'm, it's going to be ruled that I have to follow, I work for a company you have to follow their rules. I mean, I understand that. And so, I'm sure most people do, too. I'm sure some people have crossed that line, been warned and terminated. Hey, you know, you can't use my computer on your time. On your time, go do whatever the hell you want to do. But on my time, when you're working for me, this is what you do. I'm sure those
In my opinion, it's not so much that companies monitor what you're doing on their time or not. Companies want you to do your job, and generally speaking, in a large company, they don't care as long as you're doing your job. But the point is that it's their property. It's their internet. It's their office. It's their computer. It's their property, and they can look at it whenever they want. So if a company has a need...
Like I said, I'm trying to say, I don't have a problem with that because the company owns that. But in my house, if the United States government did not buy my computer, the United States government did not pay for my internet line, so take your NSA and all the other things and shove them up your collective asses and stop snooping on me and stop snooping on my fellow Americans.
Hey, Sam, don't you realize it's the NSA's world and they're protecting you?
They're not protecting me.
Oh, for
no good. You know who's protecting me? The kids out in Afghanistan, my son, his friends, all the troops out way out there. Those are the ones who are protecting us. Not the spooks from Foggy Bottom, or whatever it's called. Not Foggy Bottom, not the bureaucrats down there, not the gnomes at the NSA spying on us. They're working against the American way. They're against liberty.
NSA reviewing all your emails.
This snooping is a bigger threat to the future of this country than some jerk off in Pakistan with an explosive vest. And that's what people better start realizing. What they're doing is no different than them taking every piece of written mail that the United States Post Office delivers and looking at it. And that's how I feel about it. There's a bigger threat. It's a bomb in
I admire your passion.
Ashamed of themselves. That's the threat. The government does not pay for my computer. Stay off it and get out of it. They don't pay for my internet lines. I'm sorry. I don't get that. And I'm sick of this. People making excuses. Oh, well, you know, if you have nothing to hide, don't worry about it. It's my privacy.
Well,
that's what I was going to say.
Just so we're clear, part of the problem here is my understanding, and there may be exceptions to this, but my understanding is the government isn't going after, for instance, your computer per se, Sam. They may be focused. Just listen. What they're doing is they're going to your internet provider, and they're saying, "Give us Sam's record."
Wait, you said something with a secret court. When does the United States have secret courts? That's something from Nazi terms. The Nazis didn't even have secret courts.
Well, I'm not saying the court.
Wouldn't talk about court.
Here's the thing, Peter. They're not singling people out. They're saying, Give us all the people you service and have access to your system. So the internet provider just gives them all the information. They don't even know who they're spying on.
Well, one of the steps you're missing here is that the internet provider is cooperating. It's saying, sure, take
the
stuff.
Turning over all the accounts, not just one or two who may be suspect. That's Sam's
That's
point.
Right. And they're
so
saying
they could be reading his emails, and his provider would never even know.
Well, the provider's
being a wimp because they're getting some tax breaks somewhere. I mean, come on.
That's right. They are getting breaks. That's right.
They're not getting tax breaks. They're getting their little favor. They got their little kickback favor for doing what they're doing. And Verizon got something out of it. Luckily, I'm AT&T, so I don't care. But I'm sure they're gonna belly up to the bar of selling out to the government pretty soon. And we're all at risk because we don't know who the people are spying on us. It's our own fellow Americans. This is right out of the Red Scare. This is right out of John went to a communist meeting when he was 17 years of age. We don't know that John went to a meeting because he was at the hut for this chick who was in the Communist Party and never really wanted to be a communist. He wanted to get down the girl's pants, and all of a sudden, you're a communist, and they ruin your life. It's just like McCarthyism. It's worse. It is worse. We haven't changed. Nothing changes. If we look at that Santana quote, those who forget about history are doomed to repeat it over and over again. That's what's going on, guys. And we've got to get on top of this thing, and I hope other people do, because this is a scary thing. Because what started in the 50s with the finger pointing about the Red Scare has now brought us back to 2013, where because of, quote-unquote, emergencies, We are now spying on each other. And pretty soon people are going to say, what's going on in that house next door? What's going on over there? And you're going to run these, and they're going to spy on people to stay in the good graces of the government. So they're not next. This has gone out throughout history, and this is what ruins republics. This is what always made us a different country. We had a constitution. We had this, the power of the press. Peter, you're right. Checks and balances. We had people who would step up and make a great case and stop this stuff from going on.
But Sam, like Peter said, if you don't have anything to hide, why are you so worried about it?
I don't. No, that's the line. It's my privacy.
I mean, what a great line. If you've got nothing to hide, you got nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. What a load of, right, Simon? Yes, load of bullshit.
Oh, Peter, didn't you say that earlier?
Yeah, I did say that earlier. I didn't use those exact words, but that's basically what I was saying. And I don't necessarily agree with that as an across the board rule. I agree. It's a line that people can use to abuse situations. But generally speaking, I do believe it's true. I do believe if you've got nothing to hide, there's nothing to worry about. But I know that there are exceptions to that rule.
So
can
we all infer Sam has something to hide by his
protest?
My privacy is worth hiding, because our privacies are important to us, just like your privacy is important to you, John, Simon, yours, Peter, yours, and the listening audience, theirs. They have a right to enjoy that. They have a right to that, because most people aren't doing anything wrong. The problem becomes when you got these idiots in government who decide what is wrong and what is right. And then, as Simon pointed out, they'll misconstrue something we write to make up something.
I just want to echo something I said earlier, and that is I'm more concerned about the abuses in business. Because even if you take away the government aspect of it, there's always somebody in some business somewhere that has the ability to look at your private information and emails. And I have no idea what their motivation is. It's not protecting.
Well, they're still advertising.
Well,
like
it may
Simon,
be, they may be using it for any purpose that they want, greed, profit, personal, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that exists everywhere, and that actually does concern me. I have to admit I'm a little bit more concerned about the business encroachment than I am the governmental encroachment, but you're right, abuse is inherent everywhere, and I do think that people need to be forewarned that no matter how much they want things to be kept private, we live in a world, and I don't necessarily like it, but we live in a world where the expectation of privacy is diminishing.
And that really bothers me. You know, I think people should be allowed to have privacy. You know, it's almost impossible to keep a low footprint or a low digital footprint. You know, but I think there is a reasonable expectation that you have your privacy.
I agree. There is a reasonable expectation, but oftentimes that's all it is, a reasonable expectation. And electronic media, I'm sorry to say, and I'm not saying I'm a proponent of the lack of privacy of it, but the fact of the matter is electronic media communications have an inherently transparent quality to them, no matter how much you want them to be confidential.
Hey, let me ask any of you guys, you know, how would we even determine if the government's has spied on us? Do they contact us at a later date and let us know through our carriers? How do you know that the government has looked into your account, or can they keep that secret?
Oh, what a great question. The answer is there is no communication.
Okay, Simon, let me tell you, I speak from personal experience on this. This was years ago when I was completely exonerated. But my department actually tapped my phone, my home phone, and the only reason I found out was a couple months later, my phone company sent me a letter saying, oh, by the way, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department tapped your phone. a couple months ago. So I'm just wondering, does the government have to do that? Or some people could be victims like Sam and never even know they've been spied on. At least the phone company let me know, like, a couple months later what had occurred.
Ah, no.
John, I do know something about this because I live in – I live in Youngstown, Ohio, where many people have gone to jail for public corruption, white-collar crimes, mafia, you know, stuff of that. And when they – if their names have come up in an eavesdrop, in a wiretap, the FBI sent them a letter.
But I'm wondering, does the government, this NSA, I don't know what the procedures are, because it's
of course they're not going to. Why would they share? Why would they? Why would these people, who don't know who they are, want to share any information? Peter Haven, who's been
if there's any judicial obligation. That's my question. Simon would know because
probably it's a secret court, so they're not going to tell anybody anything. Why would they?
Right.
Why would they share anything?
To the best of my knowledge, there is absolutely no obligation or requirement to inform the person that, yeah, we have snagged your information.
How is that legal, Simon? I never heard of such a thing.
Read the Pfizer Act.
Is that the medication?
No.
That company?
You know, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which has been amended, at the same time a U.S. federal court was established. It's known as the FISA court. It's not a secret court. The existence of the court is well known and well documented, but it fields inquiries and requests for information, and it basically constitutes, you know, when they need judicial approval for their request, it constitutes judicial approval. Generally speaking, this court approves every request, is my understanding, and it does so pursuant to the standards and regulations of FISA.
So the government can spy on you, and if there's no harm done, they never even have to inform you of what occurred.
I suspect that that's true in many situations.
Wow.
Who's the judge? Who appoints this? Where did this court meet? Who are the judges?
I don't know. Maybe you should go there and get an appointment. I don't know much about the
FISA
court.
Who appoints these people? How much do they get paid? Where they go? What are their backgrounds? What are their party affiliations? You know what I mean?
I'll give you a list right now. Okay. According to the source Wikipedia, the makeup of the court right now, Reggie Walton, he's from the District of Columbia. He was appointed in 2007. Rosemary Collier, District of Columbia, appointed March of 2013.
Yeah, but Peter, we don't know who any of these people are.
Well, okay, you wanted the names. I'll give you the names. There's about a dozen people.
You know what it sounds like? A high-tech Spanish Inquisition. That's
yep,
what it sounds like.
I'm sure it is. Why don't you, you want to know more about the makeup of this court? Just look on Wikipedia. I don't vouch for the information that's there, but it lists a bunch of information about the FISA court.
A secret court.
Well, it's not secret. Is anything secret on Wikipedia?
I think we ought to decide a secret coup and take over the country. We'll just do it in secret.
If you're going to have a secret coup, don't tell anybody about it.
Here's the big question. Does FISA ever make public the court documents?
I suspect no, but I also suspect there's probably a procedure in place to make them public through pursuant to some sort of due process, and that would have to go through some sort of separate court to basically show that there was a strong interest in making something public. Every time you get down to a privacy situation, it's almost always a balancing test, almost always. And it's almost always case by case, and it's always, is the need for it so great that we can justify this level of encroachment into privacy? The notion that there's some sort of inviolable privacy line is, in my opinion, a misbelief. Every privacy line is subject to balancing, and in some instances, the right of privacy is very high, and the interest in encroaching it is very low. In other situations, it's the opposite.
It just bothers me. You know, it looks like a secret court with a secret agenda. Right.
I have a funny feeling that situations like this are probably worse in other nations on this earth.
Hey, Simon, these people make J. Edgar Hoover look like a member of the ACLU.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see the day.
That's a very funny joke, but I seriously doubt that's
good.
True.
That was good, John.
I'm sure it's a good joke, but I seriously doubt that's true.
Come on, you know, he would never think of getting away with this kind of thing.
And he never would have been able to.
And how come he had a reasonable expectation of privacy, but no one else in the country did? So
everybody,
I guess that's where we're at. Same
everybody
thing.
Everybody has a reasonable expectation of privacy.
He
but
wanted anybody to
is.
Know he was a cross-dresser.
That's what I mean. It never came out until after he died. So he had privacy. No one else did. But I don't even think he would conceive of this program.
Well,
that's a scary thing. Coming on the heels of the drone, the Rand Paul filibuster back in January about drone strikes, then we've had the drones flying over us. Then we've had the process of the AP gate. Then we've had IRS gate, Jim Rosen gate. Now we have NSA gate, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, and then the fact the president came out Friday and said, yeah, we're spying on you, but like I said, we're good spies. We have the happy face on, you know, don't worry, be happy, and stuff like that. The stock market's going up, and we're really not spying on you, but we're spying on you. I mean,
yeah,
I said, John,
you say, trust me?
Yeah, trust me. John. Would you die when Dianne Feinstein got up there and said, what's so bad about this?
Yeah.
And then Dianne Feinstein, and that's the other thing, has anybody been paying attention to what Rand Paul's been doing on the Senate floor? He's been reading Obama's speeches when Obama was a senator, speaking out, rightfully so, against the Patriot Act. Now, here's a guy who literally, when he was a United States senator, spoke out all against the Patriot Act, right, and again, rightfully so, along with Bernie Sanders from Vermont, Ron Paul, and some others who said, this is the beginning of, you know, once this thing gets a hold of us, our freedoms are going to be eroded little by little. All
I think that was
right.
Your boy Dennis Kucinich.
Dennis Kucinich, and Senator Obama, rightfully so, spoke out about this stuff.
He's a volatile Sam.
So, yeah, now we fast forward. And this is what scares me, Peter, Simon, and John. Here's a guy, the U.S. senator, speaks out against it forcefully, eloquently, says the right thing. Now he's given the power. Now he's given the baton of power, and he's worse than the person. I mean, that's what happened. Who's influencing him to make him say, hey, Barack, all that stuff you said in 06 about secret courts and the Patriot Act and all that stuff, throw it out the window, baby, because this is what we got to do. We got to strengthen it. We got to make it tougher. We got to make it worse to be a freedom in America. What happened? What happened to that Obama?
It's a rare day when a politician says one thing and does something else. I hate to see that.
I know.
But this is big time, John. Peter, this is big time. I don't want to vote for this issue, the Keystone Pipeline, something like that. This is about the whole internet, whatever you want to call it, information. You know, you're right, Peter. We live in a world nowadays, high tech's everywhere, cameras are everywhere, everybody's got an iPhone, they're an instant photographer, you know, all that sort of stuff. Anybody can snoop, but when the government's using it, and it's a concentrated effort to spy on them, to gather information from Americans who did not know it. I did not know this was going on, and I'm shocked that it's going on, and I'm pissed off that it's going on, because I know it's going to get worse. Because I don't trust the government, because they are not, whether it's Republican or Democrat, to be in there doing that. And so Senator Obama to say these wonderful things eloquently and this and that, and this guy gets in, and now he's got all the powers at his fingertip, and he's expanded it. He didn't dismantle it. He's expanded it. Why? I mean, who's really behind him? That's my question. Who's behind Obama that's making him totally eat his words and not only expand this terrible thing called the Patriot Act? I don't know. That's what scares me.
Well, one of the things that I have noticed is that you know, the IRS scandal and the deal with Fox News, and suddenly all of the liberal press have, I won't say all of the liberal press, but a percentage of them are going, uh-oh, time to bail. I mean, he's got a huge problem on his hands.
Who has a huge problem on his hands?
Obama.
Yeah, he's probably not going to get reelected.
Well, he can't.
Unless he declares a national emergency and shuts down the internet and things of that nature, which he can do.
Right.
Declares martial law. Stuff like that. Anything's possible, Peter, with this government of ours today, whether it's if the person doesn't have the company's best interest and liberty's out the window, and it's all about control, and it's all about that, anybody, you could see, with all the laws that you just talked about, Peter, from 1978. Since Obama got elected, we've had some crazy laws that have been passed to, in case of a national emergency, that central government is all-powerful and all-knowing, and it's going to be, they declare martial law. I mean, everything gets shut down. Everything. And we've allowed it to happen because we're afraid of, we'd rather watch, we haven't been involved. We as the American people have got to get back, take back our government. And that's what I hope the issue of what I'm preaching about today gets out to the listening audience, is that don't put up with this bullshit. Because it's just
going to
get worse.
Okay, Sam. It's not an election year. We've got to wait for that. But
well, you know what it is, Simon? You know what this is? It's a setup for the midterm election. That's what's going on right now. Isn't that scary? The guy's only been in office for 4 months. The midterms are a year and a half away. And I watch the news, read the news, go online and whatnot. And both parties are out already recruiting people for the midterm elections, which are a year and a half away.
I think the parties are at work on politics 24/7, 365. That's the way I mean, they never stop, you know, so that doesn't surprise me. They're all working to try and jockey and manipulate and posture for the next election, whenever that election
is. Right, and in order to do that, the big thing was Obama had to get rid of it's funny. You know, we talked right after after Obama kicked Romney's ass. It was the end of the Republican Party as we know it. They're done. They're cooked. They're goosed. That Obama's probably going to sweep in with the midterm election. They'll control all of what. Think of what's happened in 5 months. I mean, his administration right now is dead in the water. Syria is about to explode again, and we're finding out all the civil liberties have been eroded over the last 5 years by this guy, the most transparent president. A constitutional scholar, as I understand it, Harvard or Columbia, wherever he went to, and look what he's done.
Okay.
It's amazing to me.
But here's the real question. You know, you've got to vote. You can vote, you know, yay or nay on who you want to be the next president. But one thing is clear. It doesn't bring change. It brings more of the same. I mean, no one is going to close down Pfizer. No one's going to close down the NSA. So what can people do? Oh, dead silence.
Well, I agree that, generally speaking, the status quo tends to be maintained until we feel that we're nearing a crisis point. And, if somebody wants to scream crisis and yell fire, and if that truly is a rallying cry for everyone, that will probably precipitate change. I'm sorry to say, that's SOP, standing operating procedure for the human race.
And Sam, your thoughts?
Well, you know, you just put up a great point. You know, like I said, you have you look at Obama from, you know, 5-6 years ago as a senator on the Senate floor. He gets in and he's worse because change didn't take place. And this guy talked about, you know, he had a mandate to change. And what did he do? He made government bigger, more people dependent on it, and then to make sure they're dependent on it to spy on us. Continue to spy on us. I think what's happened is that old cliche that the pendulum has to swing so far one way before people wake up and it swings the other. And the pendulum, as I understand it, in American government, at least the way I've been taught and learned, and many people much smarter than I am, that it just doesn't happen on its own. It has that pendulum has to be swung. It's not just going to automatically swing back. Someone has to pull the levers of it. And I think you're starting to see that this year in the form of a more libertarian view of Americans wanting a government change. I do believe this next election is going to see dismantling of this Patriot Act, this big government, big brother spying on its apparatus, and to bring back our liberties.
I disagree.
For us and all that.
I disagree. I think people are more concerned about their economic interest, and they're more concerned about threats from international terrorism, and they're more concerned about their general safety and well-being. And I think that maybe it's misplaced, but I think most people aren't that concerned about these so-called privacy invasions right now. That may change, because I think most people are more concerned about their livelihood, their economy, putting food on their plate, putting roofs over their heads, and feeling secure when they fly airplanes and when they walk down the street.
John, you've been amazingly quiet. I can only assume you've been eating a Snickers bar.
M&M, Simon, I have the gift of silence, which is a beautiful thing in my case. I'd like to say to all those listening, I completely disavow the comments of Sam. I've never met the man. He's clearly a party deviationist or possibly even a Trotskyite.
Che Guevara.
I love your passion, Sam. I think the world of you, bro. But I think you're fighting a losing battle. I think Peter's right. I think the pendulum swung, and people are going to vote themselves into dependency, which they've done for the last few elections, and I don't see that changing. You could turn this into a gulag system, and I don't think it would matter.
Boy, you guys are depressing me. I'm going to drink heavily tonight.
I don't go as far as John goes. I think if you start seeing martial law and a gulag system, then that's obviously going to bring about
Sam, I'm reminded of a quote from one of my favorite people who Manny and Simon don't like when I quote them, but this is paraphrasing. He said, "We must bear in mind that a growth in the power of the state will increase the resistance in the last remnants of the dying class." That's you, Sam. You're the dying class. I'm with you, but Joseph Stalin said that.
He also said, "It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes." There's a lot of things. I think we reached the watershed. This has been a watershed allegations and stuff that's come out, and I think you're going to see more come out. This is just the top of the iceberg.
What do you think people are going to vote on, like Peter says? And entitlement.
It's nothing against what Peter said. I think Peter's dead spot on. A lot of people care about that stuff. And John, what you said too, people are apathetic. I do agree with you on that stuff.
An entitlement check or privacy?
It's going to, because the entitlement check's going to be affected by the lack of privacy. Everything's going to be affected by your lack of privacy. It's going to come down to, that 47% that Romney talked about, yeah, they're dependent on the government. But do you really want to be dependent on a government that also wants to know how you're spending that money, where it's going, how it's going, and all that stuff? The answer is no, because those people, that 47%, they're more distrustful of the government than the other 53% are. Oh, yeah, they want the money from it, because that's all they know. That's all going to come to an end, guys. My prediction.
Well, I feel like the government...
And it's going to change for the better.
I feel like the government already knows what I do with my money. I mean, I've sat down with the IRS two or three times, and I've shown them where every single nickel and cent went.
Do you still want me to send you those emails I've been sending you?
Please do. I live for those emails. They're meant to be shared. Are you kidding me? If they're going to catch me, let them catch me doing that. That's good enough by me.
It's all that stuff. But understand, I think it's going to change. I think it's a huge issue. Because even that person, John, who's on Social Security, welfare, food stamps, or whatnot, they don't trust the government. They don't want the government telling them what to do.
So I heard in Columbus recently at the Ohio State graduation where the president said, you're going to hear voices, conspiratorial, saying, don't trust the government. Reject those voices.
Wait a minute. Guess what? He's in trouble right now, and I agree with Simon. When I see Rachel Maddow coming out after him on MSNBC on Thursday, I mean, the only person defending him is Al Sharpton, who should be in jail, by the way.
Did you see that at Ohio State, Sam?
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. I don't hold John, both commencement speeches, all that stuff, it's a bunch of bull crap anyway. His honorary degree of doctor, the best thing to do is that the kids get up there and say, thanks, Mom and Dad. I had a great time my 4 years here. I hope I can find a job or something.
He said, reject those voices that are going to encourage you not to trust the government.
Wait, are you talking about the president of Ohio State who recently retired?
No, Obama.
No, the president of the United States. Obama said that.
Oh, Obama
reject
said that. Okay.
Reject the government. But don't worry. People are pushing back. People are getting involved. He has ignited what he didn't want to do. He's done by his own, and it's not just him by himself. His compadres, his gentlemen from Chicago, whatever you want to call them, and the zeal to rule, and the zeal to take over the midterm election, and the zeal to take over the House, to build on Obamacare, they've done all sorts of stupid things, just like most presidents do in the second term, and they're never going to pay for it. Now he's on the defensive, and he can't get anything done, blessedly. If Obamacare, from what I gather from both parties and talking to everybody, is no one knows what it is, and that's scary. And, his own desire to expand the scope of government and to spy on people is going to come back and backfire because the pendulum is going to swing back towards a more level playing field where the government it works for the people, not the people in the way it's supposed to be. And it's slowly but surely going to happen. And I've had great college professors tell me that. Other people, like I said, who are a lot smarter than I am, they said it can't continue to go on because that's not going to happen in our society. I mean, look, they can't get our guns away, right? I mean, think about it. Couldn't get our guns away. What's the difference between us and, what happened with you guys out in California? Those four people got killed on Friday by the Santa Monica. He was shot dead, in 15 minutes? How long did it take to kill the bad guy out there?
It's actually five people. Incoming news. Fifth person died.
Oh, sorry to hear that. But he was killed pretty quickly, right? Even though he had done some carnage.
Yeah.
In England, where they don't have guns and the other cops don't have guns, I had to watch a guy with a meat cleaver, with a bloody meat cleaver, after he just beheaded somebody.
Right.
Our country is different. I mean, I'm not saying, that's a great thing, but that's the big, and one of those things that makes us different is our liberties. Our founding fathers and mothers set up this country for the people to run the country. The people, the Constitution is set up, it's a destructive government. It has to have checks and balances. The government, of course, has gotten far and far away from that over the last 250 years. Now it's our time to swing back. I'm an optimist. It's going to swing back. It's going to be a better country for it, and everyone's going to be better. But, we've got to go through these tough times.
Okay. That was a splendid rant.
I probably won't be on the show next Sunday as they lead me away and cops put me in a pink suit.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of static on your line now, Sam.
No, you're calling in the Fed. You're just begging them to surveil you.
And I've done nothing wrong, guys. I've done nothing wrong, but I have a big mouth, and that's it. But sometimes having a big mouth in a society like this is not a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think that the society rewards big mouths. So you go ahead and you shout from the rooftop, Sam. Good on you.
Peter, I take a bullet for you.
What's that? You took the bullet for me?
Peter, Simon, and John, I take a bullet for you.
Well, God bless you.
We're all leading from behind, Sam.
We got your back. Go for it. No, we're good. You go ahead.
There's just one more subject that I want to bring up. George Zimmerman, the jury selection starts tomorrow. Do any of you know anything about this trial?
What did they just push for? A continuance and that was denied? Is that what happened?
Right. In fact, they're still haggling on what's admissible evidence.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, my sense of the jury pool for this trial is that it was a fairly conservative jury pool. And so, based on that, I think a conviction is unlikely. But I don't know enough about it to say for sure.
Here's the deal, and it shocked me. Jury is going to be six, with 2 to 4 alternates.
That's interesting.
Whoa. You know, this is a major league situation, but apparently we just need a small jury.
Did the defense agree to that, or was that over defense opposition?
That I don't know.
That's very interesting. That's the first I've heard of that.
Right. Sam, do you know anything about this case?
Yeah, I heard that the Zimmerman fam, Jody Arias, is going to be a character witness for him or something.
I
don't know anything. I know nothing about it except the one thing I'll always like about the Zimmerman Trayvon. Is it George Zimmerman? George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin cases. That's what brought all four of us, Chuck, Manny, Darling, together on the radio last summer, so I always have a special place in it for my heart. As far as what's going on, all I know is it'll be the next trial that'll keep everybody talking about things, and I sense if Zimmerman gets off, there'll probably be some race riots in certain areas of the country.
I think you hit
those flames. Those flames are being fanned. You can smell that a mile away. That's sad.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. White guy kills black boy. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. There's going to be some repercussions. John, do you know anything about the case?
I saw Zimmerman on TV the other day. From what I understand, he's gained like 100 lbs. So he's got to be stressed. I think that the jury selection is going to be the most important aspect of the trial, just like OJ. And I would be very suspicious of anyone who actually wanted to sit on this jury, because I think they're going to see publicity and dollar signs and have ulterior motives. So I don't even think you can possibly find it. Jury. It's going to be interesting, and as far as the race riots, I would hope it's not true, but Sam could be right. And one more thing, Simon, he's not white. He's half South American or something, I think, too. His mom is. So.
All right. Maybe I was painting the story black and white, and I shouldn't have been.
The people like Jesse Jackson will do that. But I hope, just like in the L.A. riots, most of the people who died were black. So, I just wish people would consider, and other people are doing life. for moments of indiscretion 20 years ago, and no one gives a shit about them now, so remember that before you act.
Right. How about you, Peter? Any thoughts?
I'm just fascinated by the notion that this could be a very small jury. I'm trying to find something about that. I think I agree with what John said. I'd be worried about anybody who wants to be on the jury trial because of, you know, I would worry about an ulterior motive. But at the end of the day, they're going to pick a jury, and some people are going to want to serve and some people aren't, but they're going to get a jury. They're going to impanel a jury. And the courts are going to do their jobs, and the prosecutors are going to do their jobs, and the defense is going to do their jobs, and, you know, we're going to get a verdict. And I would hope, I would echo what everyone else has said, I would hope that, you know, people accept the verdict, because that's our process. That's the best we can do, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability.
Well, Peter, we're not guaranteed a verdict.
Well, okay, fair enough. I mean, if they come back not guilty or a hung jury, that's a type of a verdict, and that could ultimately lead to the prosecution failing to prove its case, which is a type of verdict.
Let me give you something to think about, too. I think if he is found not guilty and acquitted, the feds will go after him for a civil rights violation, just like they did the LAPD officers with Rodney King.
I don't think that will be the case here, but I doubt the feds will chase them. I really do.
You know,
the feds in the Rodney King case were acting under color of state law. They were law enforcement of people, so they had potential, you know, U.S. Code Section 1983 violations attached to them. This guy doesn't. I can't see the feds chasing him.
I know it wasn't under color of authority, but you know he's going to get sued for violating his civil rights, so I could see them trying to prosecute it criminally, too.
Well, you know, the family may sue, and I suspect that in the wings, the family has their own counsel that are monitoring this, and they're just hoping that they get a chance.
They do. I've seen them on TV.
I don't think the guy has any money.
Oh. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
maybe
so they can sue
the,
all they want, but it's not going to get them anywhere.
Maybe they'll sue the HOA or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They might say that this guy was somehow authorized or within the scope of the HOA, and they might go after the HOA association. And if the jury is coming from that community, that will give them a disincentive to find a guilty verdict.
What is an HOA? Homeowners Association?
Yeah, well, this was some sort of cul-de-sac of homeowners, and there was my sense is that there was some sort of homeowners association in this little gated community, and that what were the facts? He was a security guard in there, but he was off duty at the time or something like that.
Okay. I think he was neighborhood watch.
Neighborhood watch. Okay.
Okay.
They'll make a claim for that. I don't give that much legal merit, but you know, I'm too far away to know for sure.
I think it's going to be fun to watch.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he testifies, and I think that he will testify. Typically, you know, defendants have the right not to testify, but if you're basically putting forth a self-defense defense, then, you know, usually the defendant has to testify. And I suspect that Zimmerman will testify, which is usually kind of dramatic because in many of these cases, you don't see them testify, but I think he will.
Hey, Simon, is this case going to be televised?
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I'll send you the link.
On Court TV or the Internet?
Court TV? Yeah. It is? I
don't know.
Gavel to Gavel on Court TV and HLN.
Gavel to Gavel on Al Sharpton's program on MSNBC.
Right.
So it starts in like, what, a week?
That's a good question. I don't know.
They'll have to select a jury, which will probably take a long time in this case.
Probably a week or two to get a jury in there. It's a little difficult, but, you know. They're gonna pack a jury in there. They're gonna ram them through. So they're gonna get their people on, and they're gonna get the case on, and they're gonna get it done.
Okay, folks, I have to close this down. We're almost flat out of time. I want to thank everyone for spending their Sunday talking to me. I'm going to start with you, John Perry. Any parting thoughts for us?
Good to be with you guys. Peter, Simon, and that other guy who I've never met, take care.
Okay. Peter, any parting thoughts?
No, great discussion today, and hello to all the NSA folks out there monitoring us and listening to us, and don't go after Sam. He's a good guy. He's just exercising his First Amendment right. God bless him.
And Sam.
Oh, well, thank you, gentlemen. I had a great time. By the way, while my First Amendment rights still exist, probably tomorrow they won't. But I do have a secret pathway to an underground. The Underground Railroad is alive and well for a different version. And mine's been dug by the Chiricahua Apaches, who are my comrades in arms in fighting an abusive federal government that knows nothing but to squash people like a bug. Cochise, I'm with you.
Okay. And this is Simon Parrott wishing everyone a happy, safe, and healthy week. We'll be back next week. Till next time, goodbye.